Raíces presenta su programa
Espejos de Aztlán.
Información,
arte,
cultura.
Bienvenidos.
Y bienvenidos al programa Espejos de Aztlán, hoy 5 de mayo en una especial celebración de nuestra comunidad latina y en particular pues lo festejamos con buenas noticias. Welcome everybody to Espejos de Aztlán. This afternoon we want to share this celebration of May the 5th with a welcoming to Ramón Eduardo Dorado Mendoza y Rosalinda, gracias por venir esta tarde a Espejos de Aztlán.
Buenas tardes, gracias. ¿Cómo están?
Pues es una tarde de fiesta para todos, para ustedes en especial, pero en particular para toda la comunidad latina y para todos aquellos que están en el tema de la inmigración. Pues parece que todos somos inmigrantes, pero algunos somos más. We are welcoming Ramón Eduardo Dorado because we have been following this topic through Espejos de Aztlán, and it has been almost 4 years that he was detained in the I-25 here in Albuquerque and deported to Mexico by the ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Organismo, más conocido como La Migra. We are going to talk with him and to share the good news with him and with Rosalinda, who are both with us in just our Espejos de Aztlán. My name is Cristina Bachín. Our telephone is 277-5615. And if you are outside the Albuquerque area, is 888-277-5615. Si quiere llamarnos, estamos en el 277-5615.
Va pasando el trapo sobre la mesa y está cuidando que todo brille como una perla. Cuando llegue la patrona, que no se vuelva a quejar.
Bueno, y siempre elijo esta canción de la Santa Cecilia Ice. All yellow. This is the song I'm always choosing when I'm talking about immigration, and particularly these kind of topics. We are really suffering in the United States through the lack or a kind of immigration policy that until now it took from 2007 through at least 2012. More than 2 million persons deported, which are called actually removals. And la remoción es una palabra muy diferente en español. You are removing trash, but this is the word they're using, the ICE is using to talk about deported people. If you just imagine if all these people would have been carried at once, it would have taken 7,200 wagons in a train transporting more than 2 million of persons from all over the world. But in this case, we are with Ramón. Ramón Dorado, ¿cómo fue tu experiencia saliendo del país, así como te llevaron? How was your experience being taken in such an express deportation they did with you? And what happened when you were in Mexico?
Okay. Well, good evening, everybody. Well, at this point, getting to Mexico, to a country that I haven't been there like for over 14 years, it was a hard experience. I didn't know nobody. I was sent through Juarez. At that point, it was one of the bloodiest cities in Mexico. That same weekend that I was there, before I moved to down to Chihuahua, where I was born, there was actually about 78 people killed just Saturday and Sunday. So right there, I took the idea of moving to Chihuahua, where I have family. that's the only place I have family in Mexico. So I went down there. I got there. It was really hard to get a job. Harder to go into school. And all that change from what I had over here, like English to Spanish right away, was the hardest part. I know Spanish, but they will treat you differently because you have a different accent than they do.
So, no eras ni de aquí ni de allá.
That's right.
Rosalinda, you were there when all this happened almost 4 years ago, and you were 17 years old when you were in the truck taken, caught by this airport officer. What happened from your point of view at that moment?
From my experience, it was a really bad nightmare. I couldn't believe it. What turned out to be, what was supposed to be just a traffic stop, was actually injustice to a good person. Well, for what I know, my brother, a good person, a student. That could have been like me, any other student out there that has dedicated their life to wanting to succeed in life and wanting to better their life. And out of nowhere, their future was just taken completely from them. From what he knew, his life just turned upside down from a place where you have so many opportunities to another place where you literally have no opportunity to live and to succeed.
We're going to talk a little bit more with Ramon and Rosalinda, especially how did you work around this topic to have such a success that you have been able to come back legally? And if you're just tuning in, we are talking with Ramon Dorado, who just came back from Mexico after an experience, as many others that in the Latino community were deported by the ICE in very different situations. But in this case, as many of those 2 million persons were deported by the ICE, in this case, like by a minor traffic infraction. How was the process to organize yourself? How did you work through all this topic to be able to come back?
Okay. Well, it was practically, I was contacted by NIA, an organization here in the States. And
NIA is?
Is, let me see. I don't remember the, see, okay. But I was contacted by them through Facebook. They told me that they're going to do a massive cross. Over 150 people were going to cross, asking asylum, humanitarian parole. And this was part of the movement. So people will see that there's a lot of people that were deported and they have been good people in the States. They don't have no criminal records. And practically what we wanted to do here is to let Obama or the whole government know that they're deporting more people that nobody has done it before. Over 2 million, that was a record. And that's practically in Obama's record now, that he's the president that has deported more people. And
it's a sad record.
A sad record, yeah. And NIA actually wanted me to join them because of my story, what had happened, how I was deported, and that I had a really good case. I was seeking asylum because of the government in Mexico, but a lot of people also had American children. Yeah, that were also deported. They had asked for their residence already, and they were denied. So there was a lot of conflicts in every story. Every story was different, and practically they were deported unjustifiably. They were told lies that they were they couldn't do or get residence or be a U.S. citizen because of their status in the States. But there are things that they can do. There's always something that you can do, and that's something I learned from this experience.
Let's share. What did you learn about it?
Okay. A lot of people were told that they couldn't fix their papers because their children were too old, or that they weren't old enough. So there's a backdoor through the law that allows you to get residence. Okay. As well, in my case, I got political asylum. Okay, other people got humanitarian asylum. And that's because they lived in the States over 10 years. Okay, so that's something else that people can work with. I know people that have lived here over 30 years, and there hasn't been any change on the law. So that's something that we wanted to let the government know, that we need to do a change so a lot of good people can stay and live here and continue working with their communities as good as they have been doing.
Rosalinda, what did you learn through all this process that your brother, yourself, and your family went through?
Well, from my experience, I learned that hardworking people that fight for what they want could get far. And especially if you work as an organization, if you get involved, if more people were to get together and say, we have a common cause, and say, I'll put my part to help you, you put your part to help me, and together we could be stronger. Because one person by themselves, it's difficult. You have to go out there, tell people to join, and people are like, no, I'm busy. But then later when they start noticing, I need help too, this affects me, this is starting to affect me, that's when they start getting involved. But people should be more more willing to do it before it affects them. Because once you're not participating and it affects you, then what's the point of the organization? Get involved sooner before it affects you. And I've noticed that working together, we all got far. We got to the Congress. We got our message out there that this isn't right, that deporting families and separating families and students getting affected by it when all they want to do is succeed and they're not criminals is wrong. And I'm glad we're spreading the message. And it's hard, but la lucha sigue.
And we are speaking this afternoon on Espejos de Aztlán with Ramon Dorado Mendoza and his sister Rosalinda Dorado Mendoza, both young students. They have been living in Albuquerque. It has been their home since ever. ¿No es cierto? Ha sido vuestra casa, pues desde pequeños vinieron directamente aquí, ¿verdad?
Sí.
I was 6 and she was 3.
So, and the case we are bringing today is just to celebrate a success in the struggle of the Latino community to bring back the parts, the members of the families that were, especially the families that were broken by the political, by the immigration policy in this administration that has been taken more than 2 million persons. So, Ramon, you have been, when you came back and when you were deported from here to Mexico almost 4 years ago, you were detained and in un centro de detención.
Yes, that's right.
How was that experience going there and coming back. How did they treat you?
Practically, they treat you like a criminal. They don't see your race. They just see you that you're locked inside there, that you're an actual criminal. They don't care what you did or what you're looking for. And I was just looking for asylum. And because I couldn't live where I was living anymore. So I came with the group of people. We crossed asking asylum. They took us in. At the beginning, it was rough because they don't actually want us here. They just try to intimidate you. They'll try to work with your mind so you'll go back. But as a group, we stayed together. We didn't want nobody to back up because it's a movement that we're doing. It's not only for us, but for the 2 million that were deported and over 11 million that are still inside. So we were we did what we needed to do inside so the movement could keep going. And right now, practically I'm here. There's a lot of other families that are with their families now inside the States. And fortunately, some were sent back to Mexico. And the movement continues. We're still trying to get those people that were sent back to Mexico back. We're trying to get more people to work with us. As a community, we can do the changes. That's the only way that it has worked, and that's the only way that everything will work now.
Which is the dream you were following and you are following now? You were following when you were detained almost 4 years ago, and which will be the dream you are going to follow now?
Well, I do want to go back to school. I want to start this summer going to CNM, then in the fall start at UNM. I want to continue studying architecture. That's why I was studying in Mexico, but it got complicated.
Yeah. I can guess that. Well, you'll be very skilled because you'll know how to build houses in the Mexican way and houses here, which I guess it's quite different.
Yeah, it's quite different.
But you have been learning how to build socially, which is one of the most amazing learning you could have. I know it has been very hard through this experience.
Yes, it has been hard, but I have learned from that experience a lot. And I want to share that experience with everybody, that nothing is impossible. Like, you have to continue. You have to get out the shadows and actually fight for your dreams. My dream was to be with my family, study here at UNM, and continue with my life as a good person that I've always been.
And which is your dream, Rosalinda?
Well, my dream just came true, my brother coming back and finishing graduating with my poli-sci degree and my psychology degree. And getting a good job and establishing myself here and going to law school and graduating to be a lawyer and then hopefully judge.
Well, that it's very promising. All this story that happened in your life was something that was like a milestone in your life to take this decision to study law.
Since I was really small, I really enjoyed the law and political science. And then when I took my first course in CNM before entering the university, I decided that that's what I wanted to do, study political science.
Wow. What a pair of leaders are we having here in Espejos de Aztlán? And I want to really thank you both, not only for what you fought and struggled all this time, that you didn't do it individually, and that you did it also thinking that there are
probably many Ramones and Rosalindas around listening you.
Yes, that's right. And hopefully everybody that's listening takes a part of this movement. It's not only us two, but like you mentioned, there's a lot of more Ramones out there, a lot of more Rosalindas, and there could be millions and so on that will fight for this.
Yes, it's important to get involved because you never know when this might happen to you. I used to think, oh, that can't happen here. It's New Mexico. It's nice. It's peaceful. That's what we're known for. And then this happened one day going to school and we weren't doing anything. And it happens. And God forbid it happens again to any other student. And there's a lot more students out there that want to come back, that want to succeed. And we should help them. We should keep going for it. We should help each other.
Thank you so much, Ramon Dorado y Mendoza y Rosalinda Dorado Mendoza, for coming here for Espejos Aztlán to give us vuestro testimonio.
Okay. No, thank you.
Thank you so much. My name is Cristina Bachín.
Bajo el negro manto del humo se abre un valle de la ansiedad. Ya se distingue bloque y concreto, la hierba santa en las cajas de fab. En este valle de asfalto y plomo se come el chile, tortilla y sal. Y en la laguna de Xochimilco.